Hello, my name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. Welcome back. We are on the very, very bottom of Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Bet. Actually, we just have one word left on that Amud. This series of recordings is a joint project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We've been learning some laws of Shul. We were talking about laws relating to, first we started talking about laws relating to the reading of the Megillah, then the reading of the Torah, and then about the rules of Chazanim, of those who lead the prayer services, the Shliach Tzibur. So we are continuing with that, and what we're talking about here particularly are people that want to lead the prayer service, but they don't want to follow the rules. So there were some heretics who were religious and would come into the shuls, and they would say things that they would try to insert their heterodox beliefs that were not in consonance with the sages' beliefs, into the prayer, but do it in a subtle way so they could like make it happen without announcing that they were, schismatics. So the Mishnah that we're about to talk about are certain things that if people say them, although they might express their religious beliefs, they go against the religious beliefs of the Chachamim. I'll just mention these Mishnayot. Most of this Mishnah is also found in Masechet Brachot, Daf Lamed Gimel and Lamed Dalet. It's most of the Gemara that we discuss is repeated there as well. So you can also cross-check it over there. So the Mishnah says, last word on Daf Chaf Dalet, Ha'omer, if one goes up to lead the congregation, and they say, Yevarchucha Tovim, may Hashem bless you, O good ones. Harezu derech aminu. This is a form of heresy or apostasy. What's particularly heretical about this is the idea, as Rashi explains, that not everyone in the congregation is worthy of blessing, that Hashem should only bless the good ones, the tzaddikim, but the non-tzaddikim, the ones who are not religious, are not included. And we have a strong idea that the tzibur has to be made up of everyone. And that's why at the beginning of Yom Kippur, we make sure that we invite in all of the sinners as well. We anu matirim lihit palel im avaryanim. We have permission to pray with all of the sinners because the congregation and the blessings have to go to everyone, not just the good ones. There is an alternative version here that suggests that maybe there's a theological problem here, that Yivarchucha Tovim would mean that there are two gods. The Tovim refers to two gods, and that you're asking for blessing from both of them, in which case it would be heretical. That would be similar to what we're going to see in a minute when we talk about saying modim, modim, or shema, shema, repeating that word, that you might be addressing one modim to one god and one modim to the other god, or shema the same way, that there's a theological problem there of polytheism. Okay, so that's derech aminu. That is considered to be a heretical way of leading the congregation. So it's not allowed. You have to stop the person. It doesn't say it here specifically, but presumably you have to remove that person from the amud. So now we go on to some other cases, two more cases. Al kan sipur yagiu rachamecha, if you refer to the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird so that you can take the eggs, and you say, so you're giving the opinion that the reason you send away the mother bird is because it is cruel to make the mother bird have to watch her children being taken away. So you're giving a certain mercy to her. So akan sipur yagiu rachamecha, on the mother bird in the nest, your mercy extends to them, and therefore your mercy should extend to us too. Just as you have mercy on the mother bird, you should have mercy on us. Which is kind of a strange way to say it, because you are still taking the mother bird's egg. So terrible things might still happen to us. It's just that even when terrible things happen to us, Hashem is merciful to us. What's problematic here is that you're giving a reason for the mitzvah. The mitzvah perhaps is not a mitzvah that has a moral reason. Maybe it's just a chok. It's just a requirement of the Torah in order to subjugate ourselves to God. We don't necessarily know what the reason is. But here you're saying, I know the reason for this mitzvah, and it has to do with rachamim. And just as you have rachamim on the mother bird, you should have rachamim on us. So that's case number one. Case number two is, Ve'al tov yizacher shimcha. And on those who are good, your name shall be remembered. It doesn't mean those who are good. It means on those things that are good. we will remember your name. In other words, we'll thank Hashem only for those things he does that are good for us. But as we'll learn in the Gemara, we have the responsibility to bless God both when he does good things to us and when he does bad things to us. You can't isolate it. So this might be similar in that way to saying, just as you can't say only the good people in the congregation should get the blessings from Hashem, so we can't say that we should bless Hashem only on the good things. And the third case is modim, where you say modim twice. And there's some dispute of whether it's just the word modim or if you say each word of the modim and you repeat it twice, as if you're saying the prayer twice. In all of these three cases, one about the mother bird, the one about only thanking Hashem for the good things and of saying modim twice, mishatkin oto, we silence him. And it doesn't say we remove him from the amud, but it means you stop him and you say, you can't do it that way. So I assume if the guy then corrects himself, he's allowed to continue. If not, then you would remove him. Okay, the next case in the Mishnah says, hamechane ba'arayot, if when you're reading the... if you interpret, see, this now is not referring to leading the congregation in prayer, but again to perhaps to giving the translation of these verses. But when you come to the arayot, which are the sexual laws, the things that you're not allowed to do sexually, if you are mechaneh by them, in other words, if you change them into a more symbolic meaning, rather than interpreting them as they are simply said in the Torah, you give them an interpretive meaning. We'll see what that means a little later in the Gemara. Mishatkin oto, then you also silence him. You force him to do it. You force him to revise himself or to leave. And the final case in the Mishnah says, Ha'omer, one who says, and this case is not found in the Mishnayot in Brachot. This is the only case that's unique to here. Umizaracha lo titein lahavir lamolech. When you come to this verse, which is in Vayikra Yudchet, and it says, and from among your children you shall not give them to be passed over to Molech. There was a idolatrous god named Molech, and one of the ways in which they served them is they would sacrifice a child by passing them through the fire, either by actually burning them in the fire or passing them over the fire, so there was a chance that they would get burned. But this was a idolatrous practice that was considered anathema to Judaism. So when you come to that verse, there were some people that interpreted it, and this is kind of like being like mechaneb arayo, giving it a non-literal interpretation. They interpreted it, lo titein la'abrab armiuta. You do not have permission to impregnate an Aramean woman, that is a non-Jewish woman. So rather than saying that you should not give over your children to idolatry, you're interpreting it as you shall not get married to or have sexual relations with non-Jewish women. So by changing that, you are not following the Mesorah of the Chachamim. Mishatkin oto b'nezifa. There we don't not only silence him, we don't just stop him, but we stop him b'nezifa. B'nezifa means angrily. And apparently this nezifa actually has a formal construct. If it's in the Tosefta or in the Rambam or in both, he says that involves particularly having a respected member of the congregation come and humiliate him in public, and that he gets this kind of like a nidui, like people aren't supposed to do business with him, they're supposed to shun him in public. If he does this, he gets ostracized for some period of time. Maybe it's not a full, fully being put in cheirum, but it's a form of cheirum. Okay, Gemara. We continue on the Gemara, 2, 4, 6 lines down from the top. Bishlama, modim, modim. The Gemara says, it's fine. We understand modim, modim, that you can't say modim twice. Demechze, because it looks like kishtei reshuyot, as if you are praying to two sovereigns. Reshuyot means leaders, so it means two gods. So modim, modim, we understand. Even if you're not actually praying to two gods, it looks like it. And when we say, if you say it twice, it sounds like you're praying once to one god and once to the other god. In addition, they say also bishlama, v'alto v'izacher shimcha, and when you say only, we should only thank Hashem for the good things, nami also, demashma altov in, because it sounds like what you're saying is for the good we will praise God, we will bless Hashem, v'al ra lo, and for the bad we will not. But this goes against the teachings of the rabbis, Utnan, we learn in a Mishnah in Brachot, Nundalat Amar Aleph, Chayav Adam Levarech Al Hara'a, person is required to bless on the bad things, Kishem Shehu Mevarech Al HaTova, just like he blesses on the good things. In other words, there's only one God, there's not a good God and a bad God. So if you want to be theologically constant, you have to accept that which God does to you, whether it's good or bad. So when you have something that's good, you say Hatov Amiti, or Shachianu. And when you have something that's bad, like someone who passes away, you say Baruch Dayan HaEmet. But you have to accept that both good and bad come from God. Okay, so Modim and V'al Tov Yizacher Shimcha, we understand. Ella, however, Al Kan Sipur Yagi Rachamecha, my time. What's the problem with saying, just as you were merciful for the mother bird, you should be merciful for us? Pligi Batre Amorai. Two Amoraim disagree as to the meaning, why this is problematic. Bimarava, in the west, which means the land of Israel. Rabbi Yossi bar Avin, Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Chad Amar, one of them says, Mipnei Shematil Kina B'Maseh Bereshit. You are casting jealousy among the creatures of creation. So what they're saying here is you're showing a sort of favoritism. You're saying Hashem shows a special mercy to a mother bird on her nest. But what about all the other animals? I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world. It's a world where, bad things happen to all of the animals. And why does Hashem show special mercy only to the mother bird in her nest? So he's saying it's inconsistent. Hashem is merciful on all his creatures equally, and this makes it seem like it's not so. The Chad Amar, and the other one says, Mipnei she'ose midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachamim, because you are making the attributes of Hashem mercy, ve'einan ela gzeirot, but they are not anything other than decrees. In other words, it's not trying to say that Hashem is not merciful. Hashem is merciful. But when you take Hashem's decree and you give it an interpretation of mercy, when it's just a decree, now you've done an interpretation which you do not have license to say anymore. Meaning, and then you could come up with reasons, like, well, maybe there's a case where it is merciful to do the opposite of the law. And then you'll argue, well, if the reason for the law is mercy, then in this case, it shouldn't apply. But you don't have the right to do that. You don't have the right to make that interpretive choice. The law is the law. And so by saying that this law can be interpreted according to our own value system, it creates a problem. That's the other suggestion for why we're not allowed to say it. And the question is whether it only applies to this verse, or does it apply to all of the chukim, all of the laws that are not given reasons, and can we even agree on which laws those are? That's a topic for another time. So now the Gemara gives some examples, some stories. Hahu did nachet kame de Rabba. There was a certain person who went down in front of Rabba. Again, I think this is the language of going down, yored lifnei ateva, to go down in order to pray. So he went down in front of Rabba, Amar, and he said, Ata chasta al kansipur, just as you have been merciful for the mother in her, the mother bird in her nest. Ata chus v'rachem aleinu. So you also should have mercy upon us. Now there's an addition of an extra piece here. The next line and a half is in parentheses, and it is not found in some versions. It's not found in Brachot, and it's not found here according to most versions, but it is included here in parentheses. Often we skip the parentheses, but I'm just going to translate them since they're here. He adds in an additional example, Ata chasta al oto v'epino, you were merciful on a baby animal. The rule is that when a baby animal is born, it cannot be offered as a sacrifice until the eighth day, until after its eighth day of life. So just as you were merciful in the first 7 days that it could not be sacrificed, and whether that's merciful for the mother of the animal, just like the mother hen on her nest, or for the animal itself is unclear. So you also should be merciful on us. The Gemara doesn't discuss that example, but in some versions it's here. Okay, Amar Rabba. So Rabba heard this particular prayer leader who was giving this example, and he said out loud, Kama Yada, to the person sitting next to him, which we'll see in a second as Abaye, his student. So Kama Yada, Hai Merabanan, how well does this guy among the rabbis, he's a learned person, how well does he know, Liratsuye Lamare, to appease his master. In other words, look how great this guy is davening. He's doing an amazing job davening. And he obviously was not davening from a prepared text. He was creating his own prayer in this case. Amar le Abaye, but Abaye said back to Rabba, V'ham shatkin oto tanan. He goes, what do you mean? In the Mishnah, it says that anybody who says that you're supposed to have mercy on us, just like you have mercy on the mother bird, you're supposed to silence him, meaning you should get up and say, shh, you should make him stop and retract it. So the Gemara agrees with this, and they say, no, V'rabba, the truth is that Rabba, l'chadude l'abaye hudba, he was just testing Abaye to see if he knew the Mishnah or not. In other words, the way we should read Rabba is either that he asked him a question, like, what do you think of this guy's davening? Do you think he's doing a great job? To which Abaye responded, no, he's doing a terrible job. It says in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to say that. Or perhaps he was even saying it sarcastically, like, oh, look at this guy and how great a job he thinks he's doing appeasing his master. And Abaye misunderstood it and said, wait a minute, how could you say that? He's going against the Mishnah. And then Rabba said, no, I was being sarcastic, or something like that. But in any event, he was testing him to see if he knew the Mishnah. The only thing that remains a question is, the Mishnah still says that you're supposed to silence him. So even though they had this private conversation about whether or not what he said was correct, it does not seem as if they silenced him. So that's an interesting question to ask. A second story goes like this. Hahu dinachet kame de Rabbi Chanina. So a certain person went down to daven in front of Rabbi Chanina. Amar, and he was saying, and this sounds like he's repeating the beginning of the Amidah, and instead of saying Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Ve'anora, which is what we say, he said all of those things. He said Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Ve'anora, and then he added in Ha'adir, the powerful, Ve'achazak, and the strong, Ve'amitz, and the bold. He added in all these other adjectives on top of Hagadol, Hagibor, Ve'anora. Amarlei, so Rabbi Chanina said to him, and I guess he stopped him from his prayer, and he said to him, Siamtinu l'shabche demarcha hashta? Have you finished praising your master now? And he definitely said this in a sarcastic way. What he meant to say is, better to say less than to say more. And the Gemara is going to explain why in a second. First of all, it gives two answers. First of all, Hane Tlata, these three, that is, Gadol Hagibor Vanora, Hashem is great, powerful, and awesome. Those three themselves, Ilav Dichatvinhu Moshe Beoraita, if it were not that Moshe had written them in the Torah, Ve'atu Anshe Knesset Hagdola V'takninu, and the men of the Great Assembly had not established them as a formal part of our prayer, Anan Lo Amrinan Lohu, we would never have the chutzpah to say them. We would never say them unless they were found in the Torah. They're found, Rashi brings both examples. They're found, it's found in the Torah in Devarim Yud, where it says, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor Vanura. And then it's found in Nehemiah, in Nehemiah Perek Tet, it also says, Hagadol Hagibor Vanura. So the Gemara interprets the first one as Moshe. Moshe is the one who first said it. And then Ezra and Nehemiah, as members of the men of the Great Assembly, established it as part of our prayer. Had they not taken Moshe's word, had Moshe not said it, and had the men of the Great Assembly not put it into our prayers, we would never have said it. We would not have had the chutzpah to say it. The Ata Mart Kule Hai, and you're going on, and not only saying these three, but adding in all your own adjectives. So you can't do that. And he gives a parable to explain why. Mashallah Adam, it's comparable to a man. Shahayu lo elef alfei alafim dinare zahav. He has 100,000 or a million golden coins. Vayu mekal sinoto, and a certain person wants to praise him. And he praises him, it's in parentheses, but whatever it is, much smaller, whether it's 1,000, even though he has 1,000,000, or just a small number. B'dinare kasef, with a certain number of small silver coins. Lo genai hulo, is it not kind of an insult? It's kind of disreputable. Meaning if a person has $1 billion and you say to him, oh wow, you're so wealthy, you have $10,000, that's almost like an insult, meaning you're so inadequately praising them that it's kind of insulting. So the same thing with Hashem. Hashem is so great that to start praising him is not really adequate praise. It's not bechavadik to Hashem. So we say Hagadol Hagibor Ve'anora because we have a tradition that Moshe praised Hashem that way, and that Nehemiah and the men of the Great Assembly praised him that way, and because they told us that we were permitted to do it. But if we were not, we would not praise him that way. So adding in our own things and talking about how great God is with our own words, in a way, it is not humble on our part. We're not doing a proper job of praising Hashem. And, you know, we're sort of arrogating ourselves the right to do such a terrible job of praising Hashem, so we don't do that. That's a little different than all the other examples that we brought. All the other examples we brought were either theologically problematic or explain the Torah in a way that the rabbis didn't explain it. Here, the issue is more like an issue of chutzpah. Perhaps it's related as well, but you know, there's nothing really wrong with calling Hashem Chazak, Amitz, Adir. It's just not our Mesorah, if you will. That's what the idea here is. And since we're praising Hashem by adding on to the Mesorah and doing it in a kind of what we would call a slipshod way or an inadequate way, it's really more insulting than praising Hashem. Okay, we're going to stop there. We'll continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.